Welcome to the Father's Day, June 18th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled, Train Up. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us soon for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. As you're coming in, we have several announcements we'd like to make. Just a reminder, we do want to get a record of all of your attendance this morning. We have pew pads that are on the aisles. We invite you to fill those out. Members and regular attenders, just put your name and check appropriate boxes. And guests, we would like for you to fill all that information out as you feel able and willing. And we ask that everybody just take that pew pad and send it down the pew. And then when it reaches the end, send it to the back to where it started so that our ushers can pick those up a little bit later in the service. We have lots of announcements this morning, so we're going to get started. Let's see. Russell Talley, you should come.
Wait in line, Roger. I come to you this morning making an announcement on behalf of our music committee. John Reese had approached the committee earlier in the spring asking for a little time off this summer, which since he hasn't really had any since he started, we thought that would be fine and very appropriate. And so the committee approached young Jeremy Cobble and said, Jeremy, can you help us out for a few weeks this summer? And he graciously agreed to do so. And it gives him an opportunity to kind of seek God's will as to his own career while he's helping us out. Let me caution you that John has not been released from his interim contract with College Park. And your search committee continues to work, and Jeremy will continue to seek God's will. If either of those forays come to fruition, the situation will change, of course. If Jeremy needs to leave us before the end of summer, then John said he would be happy to return at that time. Otherwise, barring the hiring of a full-time music and education minister, can you imagine that? He will return at the end of the summer. So if you've got a scorecard, John Reese is the interim, Jeremy Cobble's the interim, and that would make Kent Hobson the interim. Thank you.
I know where I stand.
Good morning, good morning. The Sunday that I came up here, the first Sunday I came up here, that mountain I had to climb out there to get up here was something. I told Melba when I got back to the car on my walker that from there to back out to the car that it was a 10-mile walk. Well, I'm happy to tell you that last Sunday was only 2 miles. And I'm hoping today it's only going to be a mile. I'm improving in my strength as I've been going through physical therapy. I thought I was going to be embarrassed and have to tell you I'd made a mistake. Last Sunday, I told you we had $19,300-some, and when they tallied it up, it was only $18,500, so I added something twice. But I'm happy to tell you that we have reached our goal of $22,164.10. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? This group of people continues to inspire me and make me so proud to be a part of them as far as our contributions and our desire to do something outside of this church. Mountain Outreach is a fantastic program that we've been involved in some 17 or 18 years. And I need you to understand that the young people in this church started us in Mountain Outreach. Did y'all hear that? They raised their $2,000 working over at Wake Forest football games in the concession stands, and at that time that was a requirement to go to work on Mountain Outreach. Each team had to bring $2,000. And so our young people led us into this project. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you continue to lead us, and we're excited about that, and look forward to working with you again this year in Kentucky. I need to just reinforce one more time who we're building for. Carolyn Jones is a mother of 44 years old who lost her trailer, and in that trailer she lost her daughter, her son-in-law, and one other grandchild. She immediately inherited two young children along with her 14-year-old son. They're living in a borrowed trailer at this point in time, and they are well deserving of us to build them a home up in Kentucky. We need you to sign up if you haven't signed up. We need you to fill out your release form if you haven't done so. Those who have already signed up, they have to be notarized. There are several of us who will be glad to do that for you. So you need to pick up a form and get that squared away. We need food items still. If you'll see the food list and help us with that, we need to get that filled out so we'll be in good shape up in Kentucky. We're still short on furniture. We're short some dressers. We're short some mattresses and other furniture. So if you have something, if you'll let us know here or at the church office, we'll be glad to get that done. I believe that's about all I've got. I just want to say thank you again for a great job on this contributions, and we're going to make you happy and proud of what goes on in Kentucky.
Thank you, Roger. I also want to recognize Cindy Johnson now for an announcement.
Good morning. I want to invite each of you to thank you. We are having a special event called Walk for Life. And if you look inside your bulletin, there's an insert for that. And that's going to be on this coming Saturday, June the 24th. And what we're going to do is we are going to be walking out around through the surrounding neighborhoods and letting our neighbors know about our life service. Because when the few times that we've been able to have it outside this summer, we have had several people stop by, pull up in their cars and ask what's going on. And even though we have the sign out here inviting them, we're not sure that they really understand. They are more than welcome to come. And so if you are interested, we're going to meet here at the church at 9:45. Just have on your walking shoes, and we're going to have some information and just go out and meet the neighborhood and invite them to the service. And I want to read a verse to you out of Luke chapter 14. When Jesus was giving the parable of the great banquet, this man had created a huge banquet and invited people, and the people he invited started making excuses as to why they couldn't come. So the man sent his servants out to invite some more people, and they came, and his servants came back and said, "There's still room." And so here's what the master said. He said, "The master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full.'" And what we have to realize is that there is still plenty of room in the Lord's kingdom. And there are many, many people around us in this very neighborhood that haven't been invited yet. And so next Saturday, we are going to make it our priority to go out and invite them. So come and join us 9:45 next Saturday with our Walk for Life. Thanks.
Several great things that are happening at College Park, and we want to let you know about a couple others. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time this morning. So during the last verse of hymn number 3, which is Worthy of Worship, number 3, not the third one, but number 3, the first one in our service, we invite the children to come down for children's time. Then we have because it is Father's Day, we will not have any afternoon or evening activities. But this Wednesday, we are starting a new Bible study series for the summer called Extraordinary Women of the Bible. It starts this Wednesday at 6:30, and we need as many things of homemade ice cream as we can possibly fit into Smith Hall. If you're able to make some homemade ice cream, we'd like for you to call Trudy Elkins, and we need for it to be here by 6 o'clock Wednesday evening. So we hope that you come and be a part of this homemade ice cream social, as well as our Bible study series beginning. A basketball camp is happening this week for our children and our youth. We will be starting tomorrow morning at 9:30, and that runs until noon every day this week. And then our youth starts at 7:30 every evening and runs to 9:30. So if you want to sign up for that, just see David, John, Lizzie, or myself. A reminder to our college students, we're getting together every Wednesday at 12:15 at Wendy's just to enjoy some company and time together. So we hope that you can be a part of that. We do want to have a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. You've already given us your information in the pew pads. You've told us your name and your address and other contact information. We want to tell you a little bit about ourselves, about College Park. We'd like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning as the ushers are coming down the aisles. They'd like to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information includes regular events that are going on all the time at College Park, as well as things that we believe in and what we do. And we hope that this gift will let you know a little bit more about who we are. We appreciate you being here with us this morning. One of the things that we do well at College Park is worship. We gather together every Sunday morning at this time and this place to worship Christ and Christ alone. And we do that by having an invitation to share in worship. It's a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin, and I invite you to stand now for this invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples.
Praise his love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, we need for your Holy Spirit to rain down. We need to feel your presence in our lives and in this place. For some of us this week, it's been a challenging week. We have faced things and difficulties that we're not sure we can handle on our own. And we need to know that you are there. And others of us have had wonderful weeks. And we need for you to be in this place so we can thank you. Regardless of what life has thrown our way this week, we are reminded that all of it is nothing without you. You are the one that gives us life, and how often we take that for granted. How often we go through our busy days, and our schedules are full, and we forget to praise you and to thank you. That even on our darkest days, you do not leave us. And so, Father, we want to thank you this morning for all your good gifts. Most importantly, the gift of your Son on the cross. That should give us reason to celebrate and to worship and to praise. And that's why we are here this morning. We invite you into this place. May everything that is done be done for you and you alone. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Good morning. We got some more coming this morning. It's good to see y'all. Good. Everybody doing good? Yeah. School's out. Woohoo! Teacher, school's out. Woohoo! See. I always get a better response from the teachers. Hey, today special day. I know it's Jeff Day. That's every day, right? No. Is that not it? Oh, what is today?
Father's Day.
Did you do something good for your fathers?
Not yet.
But you're going to. What is it? Oh, you don't know. Okay. I think Walmart's open. Let's see. What did you do today? Have you done anything for fathers yet? No. You want to go? You take him to lunch? You want to take him to lunch?
Yeah. We can't drive.
Oh, okay. You'll ride with somebody. Well, tell me, fathers, what did when you think of fathers or grandfathers, what do they do? Take care of you? Yeah. What else? What else do they do? What do dads or fathers or could be Sunday school teachers, men in your life, could be coaches. What do they do?
Help you out.
Do what?
Help you out.
Help you out. Yep. What's one thing, let's say, your dad has taught you? Oh, come on now. Dads are listening. One thing your dad has taught you. How about to throw a ball? Or shoot a hoop? Shoot basket? No. I'm not going to say whose dad that is. I remember, you know, the things that my dad taught me. He taught me how to take care of people, how to love people. I think of men in my life when I was young. I thought about my Sunday school teachers. There are great men that God puts in our lives that teach us things. Could be your dad. It could be your grandfathers. It could be your Sunday school teachers. It could be a teacher at school. And last week, during children's time, you guys helped us make something for all the men that are in church today. And it's a little magnet that we're going to pass out to all the men. And it has a scripture verse on there. It says, train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. Comes from Proverbs 22:6. You know, there's some things that I remember, you know, my dad had to discipline me sometimes, and I didn't always like the way he did it. But now that I think back and think about the influence that my dad had on my life and other people, I was very grateful. Don't you love your dad, don't you? You love your granddad. You love your Sunday school teachers. And we need to be thankful for those men that are in our lives, because God has put them there to show us the right way to do things. Just like our moms that we celebrate a few weeks ago. Today we're going to celebrate our dads, and we want to give them a little gift, because all the men in our church have provided us support and love, exactly what dads do, and we appreciate all that they've done for us. Okay? Can you pray with me? And then we'll pass out the gifts. Let's pray together. God, we love you, and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the fathers that you have put in our lives, whether they're our dads or our granddads or our Sunday school teachers. The men that you have put in our lives are so special, because they give their time and they give their love, and they show us who you are. They show it. You are the ultimate father. And we thank you for all the good gifts and the way that you have trained us and taught us things. And Father, we just want to give back to all the men in our church this morning to say thank you. So Father, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. We'll be in the New Testament today, and I invite you to join me as I read first from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I'll be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, and then 14 through 17. If you don't have your Bible, there are pew Bibles that should be located close to you, or feel free to look on with a neighbor as we look at these verses of Scripture this morning. Hear the word of God. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Also from the Gospel of Mark, in the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 34, hear the two parables of Jesus, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Friends. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we come to you and we praise your name for so many reasons, but most of all because you alone are worthy of our praise. Father, we come together as your people. We come from many different circumstances, but we come together to praise you as our Heavenly Father. And even as we do so on a day when people all around us will be talking about Father's Day, Father, we thank you for all the men that you've placed within our lives to train us, to help us, to love us and encourage us. And Father, we thank you for our biological fathers who brought us, who helped bring us into this world. But we're also very thankful for all the other men who've played an important role in our lives. Father, we're also aware of the fact that there may be some here today who have not had the love and nurture of a father, a biological father. We pray this morning that they will rediscover what it means to have a heavenly father who loves them unconditionally, who cares for them more than they could ever imagine. Father, as we continue in worship, we pray that your word would touch our hearts. We pray that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would correct us, would encourage us, draw us closer to you and to one another. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
May we pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for fathers. We thank you for their wisdom, their guidance, their love. Please, Lord, help us who are fathers to be the fathers you would have us be. What an awesome task you have given us. Help us always to be humble. Help us always to rely on you. Help us know the counsel to give, and help us know to shut up, and help us know when to apologize. Remind us that our ultimate responsibility is to raise strong and independent children who realize the power of voluntarily putting you in complete charge of their lives. Lord, we thank you for the many ways you bless each one of us. Please accept these humble gifts we return to you this morning. Please also accept our time and our talents in your service. Show us what you would have us do today, this week, this month. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children gave us magnets that say, train children in the right way, and when they're old, they will not stray. Proverbs 22:6. It goes on to say, thank you for being a godly example to us. Love, College Park Baptist Church, children and youth. Thank you, children, and young people, for distributing and making those magnets. That will go on the refrigerator and various other parts as I need to see it. So thank you. Our text is that verse. But we want to back up a few verses. So this morning, if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 22. We'll actually begin reading in verse 3. And we'll read through that often quoted verse 6. But we're going to back up to verse 3. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares. But he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train, or other translations say, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. What is our greatest legacy? I heard someone say it out loud, children. I believe that. It's relationships. And one of the most intimate relationships is the one that parents have with children. Our legacy. We leave a part of ourselves, a great deal of ourselves, with our children. So investing in our children is one of the most important investments that we as parents, that we as adults, that we as a church body can do. Investing in our children. So this morning we want to focus on verse 6. Training up a child. Investing in our children. I remember growing up at Refuge Baptist Church, we had these little official church pencil. You probably saw them. They were all about the same color about that time. They were kind of an ivory color with kind of a reddish-brown imprint on them. You remember those? And on our church pencil, it had that verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. It's an important part of what we do as a church. So I got to looking at the words, train up. What is the translation there? Well, actually, the Hebrew word that's translated train up or train in the NIV can also be translated dedicate. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon is dedicating the temple, the same word is used there. So they aren't training up a temple, they're dedicating a temple.
So it can be translated either way. So when you train up a child, when you train a child, you are dedicating that child to the Lord. Several weeks ago, we had our Mother's Day. And we call it parent-child dedication and joke about the fact that it's baby day. I mean, everybody wants to see the babies, and that's why we're here. But I'm not talking about that ceremony. When I say dedicate your child to the Lord, that's really not what I'm talking about. I don't think that's what Scripture's talking about. I think what it's talking about is every day. Every day. When you get up in the morning, you begin actively seeking ways that you can dedicate your child to the Lord. That you can give your child to the Lord. That you can give a part of what you've learned from God and pass it on to the child. Notice the context. It's written in context. Look in verse 3. Verse 3 warns us. It tells us to foresee evil and hide from it. Verse 4 says, humility and godly fear bring prosperity to our lives. Verse 5 warns that thorns and snares entangle the perverse, but for those who guard their souls, they're safe. And then we come to verse 6 that says to train up our child in the ways of the Lord. So in other words, we are to instill within them the ability to foresee evil, to exercise humility and godly fear, godly reverence. We are to teach them to avoid thorns and snares in life. And if we do these things, then as our children grow older, they will not depart from it. Now, if you train children early, train them early in the moral things that they need to know, then what you've instilled in them will be with them all of their lives. That's what God is promising. Now, notice what He's not promising. God, this verse is not saying, it doesn't promise that our children will never wander. It doesn't say that. What it does say is that if we put the right things in, if we train up our children in godly things, in godly morality, then they'll be there. Those principles will be there when the child returns if they've wandered, or be there to perhaps keep them from wandering as they become independent young adults. But we should train them when they're young. That's the reason we place a high priority on children's ministry. Because as children, they have several things going for them in terms of training. The first of these is the fact that they're very imaginative. Think about a child. Children are bundles of imagination. We were at the beach this past week, and we saw children playing in the sand. Trust me, that's all imagination, because I couldn't figure out what most of those things were. So it had to be in the mind of that child. They had to know exactly what they were making, and were very proud of it. And as you walk the beach and see these structures, these sand structures or sculpts or whatever they are, the children are so proud of them. They're full of imagination. Watch a child play. Watch them at play in interaction with one another. The imagination of the games that they can come up with. They are bundles of imagination. You know, that imagination that gets them into trouble, mischievous, that same imagination is the imagination that produces humility and fear before the Lord. We also know that 90% of a child's imagination decreases between the ages of 5 and 7. 90% of their imagination begins to decrease between the ages of 5 and 7. What does that tell us? Dads, what does that tell us? Moms? It tells us that between those ages and even before that time, we need to have the majority of what we're going to teach. It needs to be in progress. We need to be teaching them from the youngest age. We need to help instill within that child at a very early age a God consciousness, if you will. It's a perfect time to get involved with your children and teach them. It's a wonderful opportunity. So they're imaginative. What else about children? They're sponges. They're teachable. It's amazing. They have everything about life to learn yet. They're at an early age. They have all of these things. And one of the things that they need to learn is how to live before the Lord. What it means to be a child of their Heavenly Father. They need to know about the thorns and the snares. They need to know about humility and proper reverence and awe of God. So don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to instill God's morality within your children and your grandchildren. So if you don't do that, by the time they go off to school, somebody else will do that. And I'm not sure we can trust that. As parents, we need to be the ones who instill that. I heard a story of a pastor who was talking about children's time. And he was gathering, he was talking with the children, and he had a question for them. He said, "Why do you love God?" And he had all kinds of answers, as you can well imagine. All kinds of answers about why they loved God. He said, but the one that stuck with me, and I'll remember it to this day, is a little boy who said, "I don't know. I guess it just runs in our family." Yeah. It runs in our family. Parents, teach your children to love God and to obey God. The third thing, children, they're imaginative, they're teachable. The third thing is the fact that children are a fertile ground for cynicism. You see, if we don't invest in our children while they're young, they may become cynical. Because less than positive forces, whether it be someone who just doesn't like them, whether it be a peer of theirs that just doesn't appreciate them and them being a creation of God, an equal creation of God, whatever you want to imagine. Satan will use all sorts of circumstances and people to make a child cynical if we don't take the responsibility to help shape their minds and to help shape their spiritual condition. I read a story about an English preacher. A fellow's name was William B. Riley. And he was going on vacation. And he was going to spend a vacation at a Scottish sheep farm. And so as he was being picked up at the station by the sheep herder, he was traveling back to this ranch that he was going to be staying in, and it was a very somber ride, a very almost depressing ride, and Riley couldn't figure out what the problem was. And finally the old sheep herder turned to him, and he just said, "I lost 65 of my lambs last night. The wolves got in." Well, Riley expressed what he felt like was appropriate sorrow and grief for the gentleman. And then he wanted to try to help the fella talk about it a little bit. So he said, "Well, how many total sheep did you lose, including the lambs? How many total are we talking about?" And the sheep herder looked at him and said, "Son, you don't know, do you?" He said, I'm sorry? He says, "You don't know. The wolves will never attack an older sheep if they can get to the lambs." That's a lesson for us. Because our spiritual enemy will never attack an older sheep when he can get to the lambs. The children are the ones that we must safeguard. We must protect. We must instill with them the values that God would want them to know at an early age. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Instill within them godly principles. Let your life end well by helping their life begin well. Now you may be sitting there saying, "My children are grown." Or my children are at the point in their life where they pay a whole lot more attention to their peers than they do to me. That's a natural transition in life. And I want to tell you, it's not too late. It is not too late. Do not think that it's too late for you to be an influence. Because as long as there's breath, there's still influence. Do not curse the past. Seize today's opportunities. Seize today's opportunities to be an influence however you can within the lives of your children and your grandchildren. And one other word. Remember the song, "Over the River and Through the Woods"? to grandmother's house we go. Why do you think that's so popular? Because we like to go to grandma's house, right? We do. It's a popular song. We like to go to grandma's house. More and more grandparents are finding their greatest legacy in their love and their influence for their grandchildren. There's a fellow by the name of Dr. Arthur Kornhaber. He is a well-known author on books on grandparenting. And in one of his books, I want to quote him, he writes this. He says, "The bond between a child and a grandparent is the purest, least psychologically complicated form of human love." Isn't that beautiful? The bond between a child and a grandparent is the purest, least psychologically complicated form of human love. He goes on to write that grandparents can offer a safety net when maybe parents falter. He says further that traditions can be passed on by grandparents by telling stories, talking about games and skills, things that they did when they were a child. It's important for a child to learn that and a grandchild to learn that. And grandparents have one other thing, that magic ingredient sometimes that parents don't have quite enough of. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. Grandparents have the time to spend. And what grandchildren appreciate often the most is that kind of relaxed rhythm of life that takes place at grandma and grandpa's house. It's not near as hectic sometimes as home. Children who have a bond with at least one grandparent seem to have a little bit of an advantage. For a couple of reasons. They seem to have a better relationship with adults who are a little bit older. They also seem to understand and appreciate the natural course of life, the process of aging, because grandparents are able to talk about it with them, help them not to be afraid or not to worry about it. It's a natural part of who we are. Now, you may not have grandchildren. You can still be a grandparent. Doesn't have anything to do with biology. You can still be a grandparent to a child. Someone to love and encourage them. Grandparents. Let's talk about grand. The dictionary says grand. Having more importance. Foremost. Having the higher rank. Large and striking in scope and extent. Lavish. Marked by regal form and dignity. Impressive. Very good. Wonderful. Grandparents. We can all be grandparents to children and grandchildren. So no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter what stage of life that you're in, you can still have a significant influence in the lives of children. I think our future is dependent upon it. Several weeks ago on Mother's Day, I stated that one of my favorite songs was by a fellow named Mark Harris of the group For Him. And it talks about establishing roots, helping children to establish their roots, and then allowing them the freedom to sprout their wings and to exercise their wings and to train and to find their wings and become independent. I think, fathers, if we'll do that, if we'll allow our love to help them establish their roots, and that same love allow them to grow independent and to find their wings, I think we'll be going a long measure, a long way toward helping them to understand what God wants from them. On Graduate Sunday, Jeremy Cobble stood here and said, "I want to thank my parents because they're good people. They're good people." So this morning, I've invited him, if he would come, and sing the song that I made reference to. Because we know, Jeremy, your parents are good people.
It's only for a moment you are mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I've never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your day, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so sweet. But more than memories, I pray that God would fill your heart with and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. It's not living if you don't for the sky. Now have tears as you take off, but I'll cheer as you fly. I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. This life brings, so let my love give you roots and help you find your wings.
Would you pray with me? Dear Father, as your people, as your children, we know what you desire from us. You want us to be well grounded, and at the same time, live free lives, live lives that are free in Christ and abundant. Father, help us to claim that for ourselves and to instill that in our children. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be here today and would like to respond to what you've experienced in worship. If you're not a believer, if you don't know what it means to be a child of the King, we want to give you that chance today. I'll be glad to talk with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, but maybe you haven't committed yourselves, like you feel maybe that the Holy Spirit is kind of pulling at your heart today, we want to give you the opportunity to just to have a moment to reflect and to ask God to help you in your recommitment to Him. You can do that where you are. You're welcome to come and I'll have a prayer with you here. Maybe you'd like to join this fellowship. We'd love to have you. We are a warm family. I hope that you've experienced that already. But we would love to have you as a part of this family. And we accept members by a number of ways and be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Lord.
you hear these words in the form of benediction from God's word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.